I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Dylan Barnes.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and thejournal.com. Welcome to Football Eve. It's not usually Football Eve on a Wednesday.
Nope.
It is this time because of Hurricane Delta.
Yeah, it got here quick and in a hurry.
Moving games on Monday. Right. And now pretty much every game in our area has moved as of this recording. I think there's three that are holding out or two.
I think it's two. I think Hebron Christian and DeSoto, Arkansas, and Faulkner and HW Byers are the only two.
Could still see them moved as well, no doubt. But, the weather's a-coming. And, I'm fine with it. I don't like covering football in the rain.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Especially if I can't be in the press box.
Exactly, with COVID this year and stuff. Limited press box, which, most of these schools have limited press box access anyway. So,
right.
It's something you have to get there like an hour and a half ahead of time and hope you didn't steal nobody's seat.
Right, exactly. Well, anyway, welcome in, everybody. This is Prep Rally. Brad with Dylan here to talk high school sports in Northeast Mississippi on this Wednesday, October the 7th. It's Halloween month. So pumped.
Halloween's on a Saturday this year, too. Right?
I think you're right. I
believe so.
Watch some college football that day.
Yeah. Trick-or-treating at night.
Yeah, I want to dress up. I think about a friend of mine. Oh, yeah, a friend of mine is having a Halloween party that night.
And, you going?
Apparently because she said she's going to pick out my costume for me. And I'm like, don't know if that's a good idea for me to agree to that.
Yeah, you might be some like...
There's no telling.
Fairy.
There's just no telling.
Pixie dust, all types of stuff.
I mean, and then she'll have to take pictures so that there will be evidence.
Oh, yeah, and they will be hung up here in the office if so.
God, yeah. Jeez. Okay, well, let's move on away from that, far away. Want to remind y'all that we come to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. If you haven't listened to the show before, well, here's what we're going to do. Since it's football season, we'll look back at a few of the key games from last week, then we'll preview some games coming up this week. And today we're going to talk a little bit of volleyball as well. We'll have a shout-out. We'll have Athletes of the Week. So let's dive right into the football rewind. Dylan, Tupelo going on the road last week to take on unbeaten Olive Branch in that flex bone triple option attack. And Tupelo broke the flex bone. Get it? Yeah, they did. They won 21-7. That's a nice win. I mean, they got a first-year coach up there, and they got a new quarterback, Ty Walton, of course, formerly of East Union. And he can throw the ball, but as one guy in the press box told me, Olive Branch doesn't really have anybody that can catch it.
Yeah.
So they decided to go with the old flex bone, which has worked for them pretty well this year. I think they averaged 313 yards rushing per game coming into the Tupelo game. But after the opening drive, Tupelo had them pretty much figured out. Olive Branch drove 74 yards in eight plays, all running plays. They didn't even throw the ball until the third quarter. And they got a touchdown to go up 7-0. And again, after that, they had a lot of trouble sustaining drives. That was Olive Branch's only score of the night. In fact, I think Olive Branch finished up with 197 rushing yards, way below its average.
That's a pretty good job by Tupelo there.
Yeah, sure. I thought the defensive line was just huge. They played the biggest role in that. They really won the battles up front, got to the backfield quite a bit. Jacarius Clayton, Romero Hampton. You had L.A. Ray. He recovered a fumble. You had, the kid I talked to, Quay Edwards.
Yeah,
the guy I talked to after the game. So they all played just tremendous. Had nine tackles for loss, most of those by the D linemen. Olive Branch tried to throw the ball in the second half a little bit. Threw it three times, one incompletion, two interceptions, both by Fred Adams, defensive back. Fred, I think, is just a sophomore. He actually played baseball with my son when they were younger, so I knew back then he was a really good athlete, and he's he really kind of made his presence known there against Olive Branch with those picks, his first two of the season. And so those were big, especially late in the game, as Tupelo had to preserve the lead. So Tupelo's run game looked good again. Jarius McGinnister had 99 yards on 14 carries. Kyson Brown, 34 yards and a touchdown on 10 carries. total of 131 rushing yards for Tupelo. They didn't spread out the carries like they have in the past. Jake Ware didn't run the ball hardly at all. You know, the week before he ran it like seven times against Hernando in that loss. He ran it three times for negative 2 yards this time. So I guess we'll just kind of see him sporadically participate in the running game as Coach Ty Harden sees fit. And Tupelo cut down on the penalties. That's been a problem. They only had one for 10 yards. 4 for 11 on third down, although they failed to convert their last seven, but didn't matter as much at that point. So 21-7 win for Tupelo. And after that game, that improved the Wave to 2-3 mm-hmm. overall. And what was that, 1-1 in division? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's right. But this week, they're not playing because their opponent, South Haven, is in quarantine. So that's a cancellation, and that is a forfeit in Tupelo's favor.
Mm-hmm. As long as Tupelo doesn't announce any COVID cases like today or tomorrow, right?
Just don't say anything.
Yeah. That rule's always perplexed me just because, like, why would a coach just come out and say, yeah, hey, we got COVID too, and then we're just going to end this game in a tie?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess they're required to or something. Yeah. I don't know. So, Tupelo will get that win, so that'll make them 3-3 overall, 2-1 in division. And so mm-hmm. off this week.
That's big in that division.
Yeah, sure is, especially after that loss to Hernando. Okay, next one, Pontotoc and Moorville. And Pontotoc, as you saw, Dylan, rolling after a 4-1 start, and they took care of Moorville pretty easy. What was the final?
36-8. Yeah, Moorville scored like a last minute touchdown there. It was 36-0 for, you know, pretty much. It was just a shutout and blowout pretty much the whole game. And it's really on the back of the play of sophomore quarterback Connor Armstrong. He's really growing up. I know I talked to both Pontotoc head coach Jeff Carter and to Kate Armstrong, Connor's older brother. And both of them said the exact same thing when I asked them about Connor. They were like, hey, he's tonight, you can tell he's growing up. Both of them used that term, growing up.
Yeah.
And you could just tell he, you know, he's physically looks really good for a sophomore, slings the ball around really well. But he threw for 244 yards and 3 touchdowns, two of them to his older brother, Cade, who happened to be his birthday that night.
Huh.
So, you know, it was a treat all the way around for the Armstrong family. And they, they looked really good. The Pontotoc defense looked really good. But honestly, Moorville's offense really wasn't that bad. They moved the ball up and down the field a good bit. They got in the red zone 3 times and fumbled all 3 times.
Wow.
And all of them recovered, obviously, by Pontotoc. And they ended up finishing with 5 turnovers on the night as a whole, Moorville did. So
that'll do it.
So, you know, when you have 5 turnovers, it's going to, you know, going to throw a wrench in your plans. And
sure.
Alec Cool, Moorville's running back, you know, they're probably their best athlete. He went down with an ankle injury early in the second quarter, and he was able to come back, you know, and still play. But you kind of tell he's, you know, wasn't 100% on it and was, you know, things. But Pontotoc's defense, their defensive line was, you know, strong at the point of attack. And they got their, you know, secondary with that air raid and stuff that Moorville has. You know, there's Pontotoc's secondary just, you know, was – did their job and did what they were supposed to do, and they looked like, you know, what we've now are coming to see the Pontotoc being one of the top 4A teams in the area.
Yeah, you know, and I talk about Pontotoc a little bit in my column coming out Thursday, talking about some pleasant surprises. I mean, it's not surprising that Pontotoc is winning. I mean, right. Jeff Carter wins, but they're coming off a so-so season, 6-6. Mm-hmm. Had a lot of question marks, including at quarterback, because, you know, Armstrong split snaps last year as a freshman. So he's coming back, and he was going to be the guy. We knew that going into the season. He was going to be the man. But he's just a sophomore, hasn't had to carry the load himself. So you're like, how's he going to do? And, you know, he lost Caleb Hobson. And you kind of don't know what that offense is going to look like, but they have clearly adjusted and doing quite well. Armstrong's playing well. His brother, great receiver. Mm-hmm. Of course, they got the running backs, Jamarcus Whitfield and the ball kid.
Yeah, Jordan Ball.
Jordan Ball. And those two are running the ball well, and then the defense. So, yeah, Pontotoc looks like to be in fine shape right now. One more to talk about, Ripley upsetting North Pontotoc. I'll admit, I was surprised by this result. I mean, Ripley, you know, you look what they did last year, 2-8, not great. Mm-hmm. Got a new head coach, Perry Lyles, and we figured Perry would whip them into shape at some point.
Right.
I mean, he's just a great coach, and especially on the defensive side of the ball. Still, I did not expect them to do what they did to a really good offensive team at North Pontotoc. Reese Kintner, good young quarterback for the Vikings, but he got picked off 5 times. Mm-hmm. And I think North Pontotoc, I have to go back and look at the total yardage, but they pretty much got shut down.
It was 194 yards of offense, I believe. Is what
yeah,
they had.
Way below their average. Yeah. So, I mean, a heck of a job by Ripley's defense, which I think they're just getting better and better each week. And so that's a huge win, 35-21 for Ripley in a division game, the division opener in 1-3A. So there you go.
Yeah. Chaston Crudup, the safety at Ripley, had 3 of the 5 interceptions.
Did he?
Yes. And wow. So he's that was a big night, obviously. 3 interceptions one night, you know, that across the state. I don't know if anybody's done that yet this year. I think there's been a few that's had 2. Maybe you know, there might be 1 or 2 somewhere that's had 3. But it's kind of rare to see a 3-interception night.
Sure is. Okay, let's move on to the football look ahead. Again, most every game will be played Thursday instead of Friday because of the hurricane coming in and the rain associated with it. So, 3 games to look at Thursday night. We got Itawamba AHS at Shannon. That is a 2-4A battle. Both teams were 1-0 in division play. Close game last year. I covered that one. Itawamba pulled it out at home 22-14. I think it was Tay Chandler that had a late interception in that game to kind of seal it. For Itawamba, and he's been a key player for them this year on both sides of the ball, hasn't he? You told me a minute ago he's got how many tackles?
He's got 54 tackles, and 40 of those are solos.
He's a safety, too.
Yeah, and he's coming up from the safety position and literally making nearly every tackle, seems like. And they missed week one, too. Like, they were in quarantine or whatever week one. So, they were supposed to play Saltillo, who was in quarantine. So, they missed their week one game. So, he's got a game less than a lot of other players in the area, and he's 54 tackles and as a safety. So that's just nuts.
And he's running the ball pretty well on offense, too. Mm-hmm, right. So taking on a Shannon team that's kind of had an up-and-down year, but coming off a nice win, and they've got some weapons, of course,
mm-hmm. On offense. Always do.
I mean, they got 2 guys that can play quarterback. You got Jamarcus Shines, and then you got Katravius Shannon, who can actually play 3 positions, quarterback, receiver, running back, and he's been productive in all 3 of those phases. And then, of course, you have their reliable running backs in Twally White.
Stanka.
Put some Stanka on
I'm
it.
I'm always going to mention that Stanka. Whenever we bring him up.
It's going to be like a Pavlovian response every time I say Centwally White. Stanka.
Yeah.
Centwally White.
Stanka. See, okay, sorry. Yeah, I was a little late on that one, honestly.
Shannon, you know, Shannon, I don't think, normally is known as a really strong defensive squad. You think of offense when you think Shannon. And they've given up a few points, but they have forced 13 turnovers through 5 games already. Mm-hmm. They forced 9 all of last year in 12 games. They've got 10 picks.
Yeah.
10.
Yeah, I've seen them. Their secondary is good. They fly around. Yeah, it's theirs.
Yeah, the Hewley kid has 3 of those picks. I think it's Chris Hewley, is it not?
Yes.
That's right. So that should be a really fun battle there, and that's the game that you're going to, I believe.
Yes, I am. Okay. I'm excited. You've mentioned the 13 turnovers by Shannon. We've talked about this earlier in our football show, so you need to go watch that if you haven't watched that. But Itawamba has 12 turnovers on the year defensively. They have 8 fumble recoveries and 4 interceptions. So, you know, they get it done a little different way, maybe not 10 interceptions. But both defenses are super opportunistic.
Right.
You know, if the ball's in the air or on the ground, they like their chances of getting it. So the turnovers, I feel like, is going to be a big key for both teams coming, you know, tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Next game, look at Walnut at East Union. TJ Collum versus Colton Plunk.
Yes.
TJ, fast, shifty, very athletic,
mm-hmm.
can run it, can catch it. Colton Plunk will just simply run you over and then step on your face and keep going.
Yeah.
nothing.
All at full speed, too.
Nothing fancy about it. Yeah. He's hard to tackle. He's already over 1,000 yards for the season. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. And Collum's putting up great numbers, too. The only team that's shut him down was South Pontotoc, 3A team. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, you know, I'm curious if East Union can. I think last year they did.
And the term there for him shut down for South Pontotoc was still, he still had like 120, 130 something total yards and a touchdown, and had like two or three touchdowns called back.
Right.
Due to penalty. So like that's, you know what I mean. And I'm, you know, I'm not protecting Walnut here, but.
But, yeah, just for him, that's not a big game.
And both players, too, when you think about it, like Walnut's been in some blowouts this year he hasn't played in the second half. But East Union is the same way. They've, you know, beat up on some teams where Plunk hadn't played past the first or second quarter.
Right.
So like, if you just let them go, both of their stat lines could be just insane. So,
yeah.
That matchup's going to be really exciting.
And basically, you know, this is a 1-2-way matchup. And when you look at the rest of the division, you just say, you know what? Whoever wins this is going to win the division. They're both 1-0, so they have a few more games to play. But, I mean, these are the two front runners, hands down, to win the division. And then the game I'll be at tomorrow night, Kossuth at Nettleton, which on paper might look like a mismatch. Nettleton's 4-0, ranked number 4 in our small school rankings. Kossuth is 1-4. But let me tell you, they have played some tough teams. They've lost to Corinth, right, the reigning 4A state champ. They've lost to Amory,
Senatobia.
Not by a lot.
Yeah, Senatobia.
And Senatobia. Amory, of course, is our number one small school. Senatobia is always tough 3A school. Mm-hmm. So that is not, I mean, John Keith will admit it, you know, the Nettleton coach. Kossuth has played a tougher schedule than Nettleton.
Yeah.
Definitely. So this could be a very close game. I would expect it to be. But, you know, credit to Nettleton for starting 4-0. It's been a while since they've done that.
You play who's in front of you.
Exactly. Davis Oswalt has taken over quarterback. You know, used to be a linebacker and a very good one. Mm-hmm. And he's done really well at quarterback. He's a dual threat. And then, you know, they got a running back this year. I believe it's his first year to start.
Patterson, right?
Yeah, the Roderick Patterson kid, 388 yards, 7 touchdowns on 40 carries.
Yeah, it's pretty efficient.
It's a pretty good average. It's almost 10 yards a carry. And so, you know, it's a game that Kossuth honestly needs. I mean, they need bad. They don't want to go 0-2 in division, and then you get to 1-5, and it can just be discouraging.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen Kossuth this year against Corinth and not, and you know, Corinth's obviously one of the better 4A teams around, one of the better 4A teams in the state, and like I really like what Kossuth has. I think they're, you know, quarterback Brock Sego.
Yep.
They got a loaded running back with Zamarius Alexander. Mm-hmm. The Keb Bronner and Hank Eaton both out wide at wide receiver. Both are tough. Their defense is pretty solid. You know, I know they gave up 66 points the night I saw them to Corinth, but come on. Like, it's Corinth.
It's Corinth.
And Caden Best just decided he wanted to be a monster that night. So, you know, like, you know, they're not the perfect team, but, you know, in that division, man, 1-3A, Boonville, Amory, Nettleton, Kossuth, and then you throw in Belmont and Alcorn Central. You know, like that, those top four. You know, those four are clearly like the playoff favorites to come out there. But like 1-4 there, I think on any given night, any four of those teams could beat any of them.
Oh yeah, I agree.
Like I think it's just that deep, that good, and Kossuth's just right there with it. I think they can. You know, they almost beat. They were right there with Amory last week, and they very well, like you said, could beat Nettleton this week. So it'd be interesting.
Very well could. I give them a great shot of pulling off the upset. Okay, so those are your games to watch, three games to watch for this weekend. Let's move on to some volleyball real quick. I got out to a match Monday. Tupelo was hosting Lewisburg, big division match. They were playing Lewisburg Monday at home, then Tuesday at Lewisburg. Last two division matches of the season, playoff berth on the line. Tupelo, after winning Monday 3-0, they all but had it wrapped up. All they had to do was win one set at Lewisburg the next night, and they couldn't do it. And so they got shut out 3-0, and at that point you go to total points scored in the two matches. Mm-hmm. Lewisburg got into the playoffs on that and the strength of that.
Yeah.
So that is tough. It's Tupelo won like
they were 19-3.
19 games, I think.
Yeah, they're 19-3, all three losses in division.
They had won 14 in a row before that loss on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So that's a man. And that's a playoff-worthy team. But, you know, 4-team division, only top two get in. Yeah. It's a loaded division. I mean, DeSoto Central ran away with it, 6-0. They're good, really good.
Yeah.
I saw them against Tupelo a few weeks ago. And, yeah, they're legit. But, again, Tupelo could just as easily make some noise in the playoffs if they could have gotten in.
Yeah, that's just the perils of, you know, only bringing two teams to, you know, in the playoffs. That's just how it is. I mean, it would be the same way in some of these, like we just talked about, these football divisions that are loaded and stuff. If football cut down from 4-2, you would have some really good teams sitting at home,
right,
for the first round, not making the playoffs. So, you know, that's just the sport, and they only take two, and that's just how it is.
Yeah, and we had a similar situation in 2A with Mantachie and Walnut, and you covered the Tuesday. They did the same thing. They played Monday, yes, and Tuesday.
Right.
You covered the Tuesday match. Walnut won the match, but Mantachie got into the playoffs.
Yeah, they're both in the playoffs.
They're both in. They got the number one seed. Sorry.
Yeah, but Mantachie won the title, and so the division title, whatever, just in their second year as a program, they were able to win the division title. Walnut won a division title last year, and just their second year of a program last year. So it's kind of some parallels, I guess, between the two programs. But yeah, Mantachie won 3-2 on Monday and came into Tuesday night's match with. Basically, they were plus 11 in the points.
Yeah.
And then – so Walnut had to either win in four sets or less, or if they did go and win in a five set, they had to beat Mantachie by more than 11 points combined or whatever. So, you know, Mantachie looked pretty good there in the first set, won 25-20. They ended that first set on a 6-0 run using a lot of Walnut's mistakes. And so then at that point, you know, if you're Walnut and trying to avoid the tiebreaker, you lost the first set – so now you need to win the next three,
right,
to avoid having to even worry about a tiebreaker type of thing. So all the pressure was on them, and you know they bounced back and responded in the second set and tied the match up. And then, but the third set was just awful. Walnut had 19 errors combined between attack and passing and service errors. So 19 of Mantachie's 25 points in the third set came off of Walnut mistakes, and
Lord.
So and it built a 12-point differential.
Mm-hmm.
They won 25-13 there, and so already coming into the match, you know, down 11 points, and then you give up that second set or the third set, you know, but the second loss or whatever of the game.
Yeah.
You know, by 12, it pretty much put the nail in the coffin as far as for their division championship hopes. But both teams were in the playoffs regardless of how the match ended last night. So Walnut, you know, it was tough because I talked to Kelly Hopper, the Walnut coach, after the game. She's like, you know, she said, I feel like we just lost. Like, you know, I know we just,
right,
won, but I just feel like we lost.
And, yeah, it's weird.
And so it was a conflicting feeling for them and stuff. But I like Mantachie and Walnut's chances both in the first round. They both are pretty decent volleyball teams in 2A. And
yeah.
I think Mantachie gets, what, Pisgah, and Walnut draws St. Joe. So
I haven't even looked yet.
Yeah.
So anyway. All right. Time for this week's shout out, and it goes to the Football All-Stars. That's right. Today, Wednesday, Mississippi Association of Coaches announced the rosters for the Mississippi-Alabama All-Star football game and the Bernard Blackwell North South All-Star game. And we had several area players on both rosters. We had 10 guys total on the Mississippi roster for the Miss Al game, including Dalton Hughes, linebacker for Tupelo. Starkville had three guys, including Luke Altmeyer. Oxford had three guys, including Jack Tannehill, the kicker, and a few other guys. Chris Jones of Starkville is an assistant coach. On the Bernard Blackwell, Chris Cutcliffe of Oxford is the head coach. And like I said, they've got, I think we've got 15 guys. Now, I will tell you, there were some snubs.
Yeah.
Okay. Some guys that should have been at least on the Blackwell roster that did not get picked at all. First one that comes to mind, first couple that come to mind, Kai Holiday.
Agreed.
TCPS. TJ Collum.
Agreed.
Walnut. Then you got Caden Betts at Corinth.
Agreed.
I would say Jim Riley at Tishomingo County, the defensive end and offensive tackle.
Yeah, him too.
He's a D1 prospect and is having a pretty darn good year.
Yeah. I think I mentioned this to you, too, Hunter Jones, Amory.
Jay Hampton made it, but not Hunter.
Yeah.
Braxton Griffin can make a case for him.
I mean, you know, we talked about this before the podcast, you know, full disclosure, but there's a lot of good players in this area, and sometimes, you know, these lists, they kind of lean towards the 6A, 5A schools and stuff because they're like, they play better competition and all that stuff, but there's some ballers in 1A, 2A, 3A. Like, there's some kids that can play on any team, you know.
Kyle Holiday scored 19 touchdowns in two games. I don't know what else you want him to do.
Yeah, I mean, like, and we mentioned it while I go with TJ Collum. I mean, he's not even playing in the second half of a lot of these games. Like,
right.
You know, like, if I don't know what more you need because his stats are there, you know.
Yeah,
and so,
yeah.
I, you know, it's just, it's tough. I don't envy the decision makers on this at all because I know there's a lot of good football players around the state. And I know there are cases where there might be a 6A or 5A team that has a you know, a linebacker that don't have the gaudy stats, but like, you know, he's, you know, a good player and stuff. So, you know, there's just, you know, it's tough, but man, when you look, it's a stat business type of thing. And when you look at some of these stats and some of the players that we have in this area and what we've seen, it's just, you wonder how in the world did they get left off.
I know. I mean, they did pick a few small school guys like Steven Betts from East Webster, Colton Plunk from East Union. I think those guys are certainly deserving.
Right.
And then they had who else was it? They had another small school guy. I thought, well, we had Jay Hampton from Amory. It's a 3A school. Yeah. Shamar Crawford, Houston, 3A school.
He deserves it. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
No argument.
Yeah. I've been high on Shamar since before the season. Yeah. All right. Let's wrap it up with the athletes of the week. Do this every week. Honor a male and female athlete for their recent accomplishments. Female athlete of the week, Kirsten Moody, outside hitter for Belmont. She's a freshman. She had 13 kills and 14 digs in a 3-0 win against Kossuth on Monday. And then she followed that up with 17 kills and 20 digs and a 3-1 win over Alcorn Central on Tuesday. So Belmont playing really well as we head toward the postseason. Sure. Male athlete of the week. Well, it's not Kai Holiday because they were off last Friday. but this guy's pretty dang good as well. Luke Altmeyer, the senior quarterback from Starkville. 31 of 45, that's 68.9% completion rate for a school record, 426 yards, 5 touchdowns, and a 41-7 win against Germantown. For the year, Luke has completed 94 of 140 passes for 1,304 yards, 15 touchdowns, just one pick. Yellow Jackets are 5-0. It's their championship to lose.
That's what I'm saying. There's a reason they're the 6A favorite.
They
are. It's because they have that cat by, you know.
And some other cats, too.
Yeah, they got a bunch of cats, but, you know. But that right there is special. Yeah. 426 yards.
426.
That's
goodness.
Insane.
Yeah. That's all the time we got for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Again, check out our DJ Preps football preview show at djournal.com. It should be up now. This podcast comes to you every Wednesday. You can find it in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. We're on Twitter at djournalpreps. I'm on there at Brad Locke. Dylan's on there at Dylan Barnes DJ. And we will see y'all next week.